This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:43 in the evening and you're with Lynn and Kelvin. And for our next story, it's all about privacy because a study by UK-based tech website Comparitech placed Malaysia as the fifth worst performer out of 47 countries in terms of privacy and surveillance. So in case you're wondering what that actually looks like, they scored us out of 5 and we got a 2.64. For context, of course, thankfully, no country got a perfect.
Thankfully.
I mean,
in comparison.
Yeah, not just that, but I wouldn't trust a list that gave anybody a perfect 5.
Okay, true.
In today's world, I just don't think that's possible. So nobody got a perfect 5. But we are just ahead of Thailand, India, Russia and China.
Now, the report said that while we did introduce a data protection law in 2010, that's the PDPA or the Personal Data Protection Act. And while we have effective enforcement, we're not doing a great job at updating the law. There are also other criticisms, like how the PDPA doesn't quite specify how long data can be kept, but only that it should not be kept longer than necessary.
You know, I've always wondered about this, about laws in the digital age, because I do think that while we talk often about how Malaysia has a number of outdated, even archaic laws, like one that we spoke about recently to do with citizenship, right?
Yeah.
And whether or not it can pass through via your matrilineal line. This is a whole other ballgame because when it comes to the digital landscape, things change so quickly.
Yeah.
And so more than ever, I just wonder whether we're doing well in terms of being able to keep up and how often you would need to change.
I can't remember what the saying was. So was it about the fact that governments take about 5 years to catch up to something that happened, say, something tech-related, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it's tech-related. I think it's also things like disruptions.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to keep up because sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right? Which is anyway. But when it comes to this, Comparitech also cited to do with our 2.64 score, what might be the largest data leak ever in Malaysian history. So if you remember about 2 years ago, reports surfaced on how over 46 million Malaysian mobile phone numbers were leaked. And this case was also brought up in the Dewan Rakyat recently by Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fadzil. He asked how the Ministry of Communications and Multimedia, as well as the company that it contracted to handle a service, failed to protect personal data, as well as what actions have been taken against the company.
Well, in a written reply to the MP, MCMC said that they didn't renew the contract with Numera and they've also submitted investigation papers to the Attorney General's Chambers for Action. And yesterday we got news that Numera claimed that the police had cleared them of any involvement in that 46 in the data breach.
So for context, when we say clear, the police have jurisdiction to say that the breach was unintentional. But beyond that, right, in terms of assessing whether the systems were faulty or weak to begin with, that's not something that would fall within the purview of this investigation. So that's the context of what they mean when they say cleared. And, you know, most recently, we also saw a data leak on the website of the petrol subsidy program. Apparently, banking details were allegedly leaked. The Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Ministry has said that since then, it's tightened the security of the system. And, you know, one would hope.
Yeah. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that I'm not too sure about with data protection, right? Like how, for example, how long does a company keep data I perhaps provided when I was 15 or 16 just because I wanted to sign up for that points card? Do they still keep that? And can I just call them up and say, hey, I don't want my data to be with you anymore. Can you delete that? And, you know, what is the show of proof that they have done so?
So it's a couple of layers there, right? I mean, you're talking about it from a consumer point of view, which is important. Although I also wonder how often people actually consider how much of their information is floating around. Because when I think about it, I shudder. You know, the amount of times that I've just casually given up information just to access things or to be in the running for things or just to sign up for newsletters.
Yeah.
You know, just all sorts of ways in which on a daily basis you're letting people know how old you are, perhaps your IC number, perhaps your phone number. You know, it's just little bits. When you think about the trail you leave online or the trail of information that you leave anywhere, it's tremendous.
And that's the technical information that they can have about you, right? Your banking details and so on. But then if, say, you are also a more public person on social media, they can build up a whole personality and then they can attempt to imitate who you are, go on to trick your friends, go on to trick your loved ones and steal whether their money or also their data.
Yeah, and here I suppose the particularly scary bit might be that in many cases, MCMC, at least to, I think in the eyes of many, are seen as sort of the bastion of this, right? You're yeah. supposed to be the people who are safeguarding our information. And so I'm not saying that they were the ones who were at fault, but the company that was contracted, you know, while they were cleared, were also the ones who initially we were like, oh, so this is where the breach is from. Mm-hmm. So I think there are just concerns on every level about how safe, my God, I'm just, listen to the optimism, you guys, how safe anything is, really.
Yeah, especially in the hands of government, right? Because now that they are also thinking about transitioning a lot of your services to one that is an online platform, you know, is that safe, you know, for... If let's say they still trusted the physical copies, I think in my eyes, the only way that data could be leaked is if someone had taken it out, taken a photo of it, photocopied it or something else, or they literally had to break into those offices to take it. Right now, if it's all online, anyone can be anywhere and still attempt to steal the information, especially if, let's say, our safeguards are not strong enough.
So, you know, I think what I'm most curious about here is how often you think about it. Because to be honest, for me to exist on the internet, I sometimes have to shut one eye because when I think about it, truly think about it, it just gets a little freaky. So mm-hmm. I'm curious how often you think about your data and how often you think about your privacy online. Yeah, you know, just is it something that's top of mind for you? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Adlin Abdul Majid, who heads the Personal Data Protection Compliance Team at law firm Lee Hishamuddin Allen and Gledhill. Adlin, thank you so much for being on the show. So, this study by Comparitech ranked Malaysia as the fifth worst out of 47 countries, like we talked about, basically concluding that we have, in their words, some safeguards but weakened protections. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, I think firstly, it's not so fair to categorize us together with countries like China, where the report concluded that China's government not only fails to protect citizens' privacy but actively invades it, and with countries that don't even have data protection laws like India. So to me, I think it's a very unfair assessment, and it doesn't take into account that we actually have a data protection law that covers the protection of personal data in commercial transactions. However, it would be quite accurate to say that our laws are in place, but we are a bit slow in enforcing the laws. We're actually one of the first countries in Southeast Asia to put in data protection laws, but we have been a bit slow in terms of enforcement. So far, and the law, I think you would know, was enforced in 2013, but there have only been about 5 cases that have been taken to court, and not many of them are for data breaches. These are only for the failure of data users to register. So we haven't really taken positive actions for the bigger cases like telco, you know, the telco data breach, the Numera data breach, also the recent data breaches like Lion Air, Sephora, and the leakage of information of UiTM students. So we have data protection laws in place, but our enforcement has to be beefed up for us to move up in the rank.
So you mentioned that we haven't taken any data breach cases to court. Is there anything preventing us from doing that?
From what I understand from the actions of the Data Protection Commissioner at the earlier stages of enforcement was that they wanted to take this enforcement on a step-by-step basis. So the first year of enforcement in 2014, the focus was to make sure that companies put in compliance measures. Then the year after that, there were audits being done, 2016, 2017, and that was mentioned in the report, actually. But we've somewhat been slow. Maybe it's a resource issue. Maybe it's a sensitivity issue. I'm not very sure of why they haven't taken action, especially for the ones that have quite big impact. The telco one is the biggest, I think, 46 million. But yeah, no action has been taken so far.
So you mentioned the PDPA there. Is it enough, or do we need to think about a wider data protection framework here in the country?
The data protection framework in Malaysia is wide, but there are some limitations to it. First of all, it would only be applicable when data is collected for purposes of commercial transaction. So it's very clear in the law. If there is use of personal data not for purposes of transacting or contracting, then the law would not be applicable. That's one limitation to the law. The second is that there is a blanket exemption that's given to government. the law says that it doesn't apply when personal data is used or collected by government, state government and federal government. So that is a blanket exemption, which means that government would not be bound by the PDPA. Also, it doesn't have notification requirements, which many new laws have right now. If data is leaked or there is a data breach and certain requirements are met, data controllers or data users are required to then report to authorities on that breach. We don't have that in Malaysia, so that is a gap that needs to be addressed.
The PDPA was introduced about 9 years ago. Is it still an effective framework given the speed at which technology changes?
The law was drafted in a very technologically neutral manner. So it is still effective, even though technology has changed. Like the definition of the personal data is still in line with international developments, and the definition is applicable whether you talk about physical information, your name, your address, or also new types of information that we collect, for example, biometrics data. So it defines personal data as information that relates directly or indirectly to someone, or and a person is identifiable from it. So from that definition, you can see that it's quite general and it could be applied even as technology progresses.
You know, speaking of changes in tech, we recently saw Grab introduce facial recognition technology to protect the safety of drivers and passengers. And so when it comes to that, do we actually have laws that govern the use of facial recognition?
The PDPA would apply. Because the definition of personal data includes, as I mentioned just now, includes information that is identifiable or which a person can be identified. So based on facial recognition technology, the fact that your face is there would mean that you fall squarely within the definition of personal data. And any use of that information or that image of your face would fall within the PDPA. So it's not really an issue. I don't think we need to change our laws just because we have new technologies such as facial recognition to cater to these changes in technology, because our definition of personal data within our data protection laws would be sufficient to cover this situation.
So that's a law, but on an individual level, what can we do to protect our personal data?
Individually, as an individual, I think you should be aware of the purposes for which data is being used. If a business collects your personal data, you should actually read the terms and conditions and the privacy notices that are being issued to make sure that they are only using it for the purpose that they are collecting it. Because there are limitations to the purpose for which personal data can be used. If a company collects information for one purpose, purpose A, they can't then use it for another purpose without getting your consent. But the problem with us as consumers is that we usually want to tick and say we want certain things, like, for example, marketing materials to be delivered to us or certain information on the products to be delivered to us. That's the danger, because then that's when companies can utilize or use your personal data for other purposes. So we should be clear or be mindful of the consent that we give to businesses when it comes to personal data that we provide to them. Also be mindful of the type of information we give to businesses as well. I find that Malaysian consumers are probably more open when it comes to providing information. Our IC, for example, right? When you look at my IC, you will know my birth date, you'll know where I was born, you'll even know my gender. So we've grown up on that basis, on the basis that our IC is always provided. We provide it to guards, for example, when we are about to enter buildings or condominiums. So these are the dangers that come with giving our information so freely. So we have to consider and be mindful of as to what information we provide to third parties, not just businesses, but any third party.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure that my number has probably been sold to a third party. I don't know, maybe more than one even, because I do get these questionable phone calls every now and again. And if there are people who want to take action, like I do, what can we actually do?
Reports can be made to JPDP. They have a hotline and they also have an email address on their website, which you can write to and complain about the use of information. The thing about the PDPA is it's a complaints-based system where you don't have to appoint lawyers to act for you. in relation to any abuse of your personal data. The complaints can be made straight to JPDP. Then JPDP has quite wide powers for investigation, to look into data that is kept by that party who called you, for example. Then enforcement actions, investigations can be carried out on the basis of your complaint.
Adeline, thank you so much for those insights. That was Adeline Abdul-Majid, Head of the Personal Data Protection Compliance Team at law firm Lee Hishamuddin Allen and Gledhill. Like I said, I'd be curious to know whether or not you think about your data and your privacy a lot, because I do think a lot of people kind of just have to close one eye and get on with it in order to proceed in this modern age. Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.